So let me start with how Farrokh Farrokhzad entered the Iranian literary scene. In September of 1954, there was this article, this piece, I should say, in Roshan Fekr magazine, The Intellectual. It was one of the most popular magazine journal at the time. And they had a page for introducing poets. Feridun Moshiri was the person in charge of it. And this unfortunately has, oh no, it hasn't. Here's the poem. And as you see, the biographical sketch of the poet is by far longer than the poem. And there are two pictures. And in a way, it's the beginning of Farrokhzad's entry into Iranian literary scene and the way she's going to be treated even today. The focus of the piece is on the fact that she's a married woman, that she has a child of two, and on the fact that she's got beautiful, penetrating eyes, and wild, disheveled hair. So, you know, this combination, titillation of the poetry, but also her personal appearance. But most importantly, the poem, as you see, is Gunah kardam gunahi pur ze lezzat dar aghoshi ke garm o atashim bud. And if you read the description, it's quite clear that this is a married woman talking. So the gunah is obviously not with the husband. That wouldn't have qualified as gunah. So it was unusual. At the time, and we have one of the best lawyers among us, at the time, the punishment for a woman who will so openly admit to an extramarital relationship was death. I mean, I'm not saying it happened all the time, but had the husband wanted to, he could have killed his wife, and the maximum punishment for that would have been 6 months in prison. So, you know, we should discuss what happened. Why did she publish such a poem and what happened? So we know the version of Mr. Moshiri, the editor-in-chief of that page. He wasn't the editor-in-chief of the magazine. He was the editor-in-chief of that page, the literary page. He has said to many people, including a film by Mr. Nasser Safarian, that one day he was sitting in his office, a young woman, barely out of her teens, walks in. Her fingers are colored with green ink, and she's shaking. She's very bashful, and she stands by the door. And so Mr. Moshiri asks, why are you here? And she says, I have three poems that I would like to submit for publication. Moshiri invites her to sit down. She does. And Moshiri, I don't know, probably Ahmadjan knows him, was the sweetest, gentler soul. He said, this woman was so nervous, I ordered tea for her. This is very unusual, the story I'm going to tell you about Farrokh Farrokhzad. She's far from being always bashful, and you know, she's done some very unusual things. So he orders tea and start looking at the poems and is completely shocked by the revelation in these poems. And very gently he tells Farrokh, I would love to publish this, but to be honest with you, I need the permission of the editor-in-chief of the magazine. This is the editor-in-chief of the magazine. This is Mr. Nasser Khodayar. Salam. I have done some 80 interviews for this book. Some of them have been amazing. In fact, all of them have really helped me in more ways than one. I have to admit, my interview with Nasser Khodayar has been one of the most amazing. In that, I met him twice for hours. The whole thing was, you know, every minute of it was a shock, a surprise. Anyway, Nasser Khodayar tells Mushiri that, Aga, chop kon bere. Yes, of course, publish it. This is. And Mushiri says, ma chop kardim o naraft. We published it, but we got into a lot of problem. The fascinating thing about this 12-line poems, it's only 12 lines, is that it titillated half the population in Iran, and the other half absolutely hated it.
Excuse me.
Yes.
When you say population, what sort of readership?
The readership.
Intellectual magazine was there.
It was general readership. Roshan Fekr was.
Wide, yes. A large number.
It was a large number, and I have collected several references to this poem. We don't have reception theories in Iran yet. We don't have studies that have revolved around reception theories. So I can't tell you with any certainty how many people have read this, although to this day, Furugh is known as the poet of Gunah, the poet who wrote the poem Sin for many. There are several references, even in books published as recently as a year ago in Iran, referring to her as the poet of sin. And I welcome your questions.
Would Roshan Fekr qualify as a tabloid in your mind?
You know, that's a very good question. I have asked several people about that. I was a little younger back then. People tell me that actually because Khodayar was involved with it, Khodayar was himself a writer. He had a program on national television. He was a friend of Feridun Kar, Khanum Kar's friend. Complicated relationship, I understand. Because Mushiri was the person in charge of the literary books, that it crossed boundaries. It wasn't a tabloid as such, although it became for a while, and I'm going to tell you when it really turned from a literary magazine more into a tabloid of sort. So the poem Sin was actually written for Nasser Khodayar. A Ashiq Divani Man, there is a line in the poem, A Ashiq Divani Man. It's A Nasser Divani Man. I've seen it. So originally it was A Nasser Divani Man. She had written this poem for this man. She had no intention to publish it. I don't think she did. But she was encouraged. Mr. Nasser Khodayar, Tahmine Milani last night said something very true. He said Furugh Farrokhzad must have had a fabulous taste because the men she was with are some of the most handsome men in Iran. And it's true. He, when I met him, he wasn't a young man, but he was a very handsome man. And with this speed, if I go continue like that, we are all going to be here for the next 24 hours, to say the least. So let me move on. So the poem was published and became a scandal for some. And some men have written about what this poem did to them. It wasn't only a liberation for women, it was a liberation for men. It really stretched the imagination of gender relations, of literary propriety, of when, what can be said in literature. Now, if you put the issue of morality aside for a minute, and I know it's not an easy thing to do, but you look at it strictly from a literary perspective, you know, you have to accept that it is the first time in Persian literature, and we have over 1,000 years of a glorious literary tradition. It's one of the undiscovered treasures of the world, Persian literature. It is the first time that from the perspective and with the pen of a woman, a man in his full bodily reincarnation is desired by a woman. It is the woman who is singing a tale of love in his ear. So,
at what point, I knew what this story is about.
Everybody knew.
But when it became known to the public, not
yes.
public, but the limited.
Yes. Thank
when,
you.
When was that?
I didn't plant him here to prepare you for my next.
Okay.
So, about soon after the publication of Asir, about 11 months later, the publication of Gunah Kardam, the book Asir is published. I think I have, Asir was published, the first edition of Adi, Asir by Amir Kabir, in 1,200 copies, which for back then was an unusual, it's a large one. The book was offered to the husband, Farooq was married at the time, and very significantly, the poem Gunah Kardam was deleted from it. And Shojaeddin Shaffa had written the introduction to it. So the relationship between Nasir Khodayar and Farooq Farrokhzad had gone sour, and now this book has come out. It's really the book of a married woman who talks about her child, who talks about her husband in glowing terms, and the book is offered to the husband in recognition of his boundless kindness. Gunah is deleted, and there is not a single reference to Mr. Nasir Khodayar, who in both interviews I had with him kept reminding me, Khanum Milani, don't ever forget, I am the one who made Farooq Farooq. So imagine, Nasir Khodayar. So he's, of course, upset that the first collection of her poems has no reference to him. Someone else has written the introduction. And this poem that eulogizes him and his body and his virility is gone.
Was he married too?
Yes, yes. Mr. Khodayar remained married, but he's also known to be one of the most successful womanizers of Iran of the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s. So,
not when you interviewed him.
Pardon me?
But not during your interview.
Well, shall we have no comment on that? He's a very colorful, I have to say, very intelligent, very handsome, very tall man, even at that age. And he takes pride in it. He takes pride in having been a womanizer. And now, you know, not with name, but several books and films have been made about him. But nobody knows it's him. Uh-huh. He has not granted any interview about Farooq Farrokhzad. And I pursued him for a while to finally do it. So Shukufi Kabud is published, a serial, in the same magazine, the same journal, Roshan Fikr. Look at the picture. It does look like the picture that was accompanying the poem and the biographical sketch. It's the story of a love affair between this man and a woman painter. But it's the detail of the relationship. And as you said very correctly, everybody knew it's their relationship. And Puran Farrokhzad, the sister of Farooq, has insisted that this poem was not for Nasser Khodayar, that Nasser Khodayar was not even in the picture and all that. So my interview with Khodayar, and throughout the book, one source has never been enough for me. If something I'm saying has not been cross-referenced and cross-checked, I have not included in the book. You know, I hope I've kept away from innuendos and gossips. And so two of Farrokhzad's, one sibling, Feridun Farrokhzad, with whom I verified before he was murdered, mercilessly, and Khanume Pari Moazzeh, one of Farrokhzad's closest friends, in the early years of her life. In fact, both of them did go to Nasser Khodayar. They were sent to him by Farooq Farrokhzad, begging him to stop the serial. He did not. Farrokhzad's marriage went into flame. As you can imagine, when the poem Gunah was published, for an Iranian man, the husband of this wife, it was not easy to take. Kamyar Shapur, the son, the biological son of Farooq and of Mr. Shapur, told me that after this poem was published, for a whole week, my father didn't leave home. He felt ashamed. He felt uncomfortable to face people. Farooq had a nervous breakdown. And last night I talked about, even before that, she had already attempted unsuccessfully suicide. She was saved. But this time she had another suicide attempt. For the first time she was admitted to an asylum, Rezai Asylum. I've been very interested in any record of why and what they did to her. The few things I know for a fact is that she was giving electric shock therapy without the administration of anesthetics, which is very painful. If you have seen the film One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you know how it feels. I don't have the exact duration of her hospitalization. It's between either 1 month to 3 months. And when she left, I have a couple of pictures. I'll come back to these. See, this is one of the earlier pictures. Soon after her hospitalization, you see how gaunt and pale she is, and this one. Those were very dark days in her life. And let me go a little faster. So the marriage ended in divorce. It was Farooq who decided to let Kamyar stay with the father. I mean, Shapur family has been blamed for not allowing Farooq to see her biological child, and sure enough, it did happen. But at the beginning, it was Furul. And I know for a fact, I have letters to that effect, that I can't keep Kamyar in my home, in the home. At that point, she was divorced in the home of my parents, and it's not a healthy atmosphere here. I would rather your mother takes care of Kamyar. And then she decided to leave Iran. She left Iran on a cargo plane. She went to Italy, where Behçet-i Sadr, her teacher, her painting teacher, but also a close friend of hers, lived. She stayed there, she worked, she dubbed for Persian film, Italian film that were going to Iran. She supported herself and finally decided to go to Germany, where her brother was. When she was in Germany, she and her brother Amir Masoud translated a book of poems from German that was recently published.
Now or still the
50s? We are still in the 50s. We are still in the 50s. And after about 20 months, she comes back to Iran. One of the saddest poems, and I say that as a mother, as a grandmother, I have really struggled, and I hope I'm going to have a little time to tell you about the trials and tribulations of writing Furul Ferozad's biography. One of the most difficult part for me was the issue of motherhood, because I had interviewed the son, Kamyar, repeatedly. So I knew his version of the story. And I love Furul Ferozad's poetry. I know many of her poems, with which I have cried, I have sobbed for a mother who could not see her only biological child. You know, as you know, motherhood in Iran is not a right. Motherhood in Iran is a privilege. A man can contribute to a relationship with the sexual act, and he will always be recognized as the father and respected as the father with all the rights of fatherhood. A mother who is the person who carries the child for 9 months, and there is no doubt about the fact that she is indeed the mother of this child, is not always, does not necessarily have the right to remain mother. She has to earn that privilege. If she gets married, if she's considered unfit, and I would be very interested in Khanum Ekar's major work on the issue and how she feels about it. So Furul returns to Iran. I have interviewed a couple of people who knew her while she was either in Italy and later in Germany. What she missed the most was Iran, was the language, was the people. You know, there are quotations from Furul, and I don't want to change the image of how she felt about Iran. She had a mixed feeling. So let me tell you, after all these years, I'm kind of convinced that Furul Ferozad was bipolar. So there are lots of ups and downs in her poetry. It's either the height of joy or the depth of sorrow. But more importantly, another element that we have to keep in mind is that this was a woman who grew by leaps and bounds. Her whole literary career lasted 13 years, from the day as Gonah was published to the day she passed away in a car accident, lasted 13 years. In those 13 years, she published 5 poetry collections, each of them a very important book in Persian literature. Two of them considered masterpieces of Persian literature. I personally love also the first three collections. I find them very very significant and very important, and a novelty of sort. She has produced a film that is considered one of the top best documentaries ever made in the world, a book of translation. She has written six short stories. She has written literary pieces, wonderful. One of the best film criticism of Khishto Ayine made by Ebrahim Gulistan is written by Furugh Farrokhzad. I mean, this woman was truly talented. She has made an anthology of poems of modern poets. I should add here, parenthetically, because I don't believe in sacralizing a person. In that book, there are several men. There is not a single woman poet included in her anthology as Nima Bebad. At the time, we had wonderful poets, some of them her friends at some point, Lobat Vala, Simine Behbahani. There were others too, but none of them are included in that book. So, we'll talk about that because that will take longer. Farrokhzad's relationship with women and women's relationship with Farrokhzad is very complicated to this day. If you read the literary criticism and you know, and you try to have a panoramic view of it rather than just taking anecdotal, which has been the problem with Furugh's literary criticism. Now, I think you need to have a more panoramic view of both her poetry, her work, and also the criticism that that we have. You know, to go back to the amazing corpus of her body, she has also a travel narrative, that Diary Digar, elsewhere. To the best of my knowledge, it is also the first published life narrative by a woman with her name. We have a couple other ones in our archives. But one of them is the title of the author is Hamsare Haji something, and it's about the pilgrimage to Mecca. This one is by Furugh Farrokhzad. It's about her trip, unchaperoned trip, to these two places that I went. So Furugh comes back to Iran. She took the car. She returned to Tehran with the car of a friend. That tells you the state of her need for money. She stayed at her parents' for a while and quickly realized she couldn't. She left the parents' house. Some of you who know about Farrokhzad probably know that she lived for about three months with Tusi Hayri, who had just divorced Ahmad Shamlu, but she had to leave, and she was looking for a job. She went to Lobat Vala and told her, I need a place to stay and I need a job. And Lobat Vala introduced her to Mr. Raja, who was the editor-in-chief of another magazine, Tehran Musafar, and she started working there. Around that time, in the summer of 1337, two of Mr. Golestan's friend and Furugh Farrokhzad's friend introduced Furugh to Mr. Golestan. Mr. Golestan offered to hire her. He told me, said, I told her, Khanum, you're a poet, but I'm not hiring you to write poetry. You're going to be a telephone clerk, and you're going to help me archive the slides I have. Is that acceptable to you? And Furu said, yes, I need a job. So she was hired with 852 months, which back then was a large sum of money. The two rather quickly fell in love. Mr. Gulistan was also married with two children. And it became a very complicated relationship in the sense that Mr. Gulistan was married, Farooq was not. The relationship between the two and my perspective on it has changed over the years, has completely changed. I have, and I will, it will be included in the book, 15 unpublished letters, and for the first time, without a single word of censorship, poems of, letters of Furu Farrokhzad to Mr. Gulistan, and they really clarify a lot of things. And after reading all of Farouk's poems several times, I have come to really admire the relationship. Again, the issue of morality of it is aside. I'm not judging the relationship. I'm only talking about the poetry. The poetry that Farooq Farrokhzad has written in Tavalludi Digar and in Iman Biyavarin va Aghaz-e Fasl-e Sard are unprecedented in Iranian literature, again, from the perspective of a woman, but even more important, from the perspective of two men and women who love each other equally, at least in the poetry. That poem, Fath-e Baq, you know, An kalaqi ke parid az faraz sar ma va furu raft dar andishe ashufte abri dilgar خبر ما را خواهد برد به شهر. We read this poem in class together. همه می دانند، همه می دانند که من و تو از آن روزنه سرد عبوس باغ را دیدیم، سیب را چیدیم. همه می ترسند، همه می ترسند، اما من و تو نترسیدیم، به چراغ و آب آینه پیوستیم. If you read that poem, it's the recreation of the Garden of Eden. It's going back to the beginning of men-women relationship and recreating it in a way that is egalitarian, that is the relationship of two equals, that there is no deceit, there is no, you know, the whole poem is immersed in the manuto. Doesn't even use ma, because neither the man nor the woman is blamed in that poem for picking the apple. In fact, if picking the apple was the cause for expulsion of Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, in that poem, the picking of the apple, the entrance to the garden, is the creation of paradise. It's paradise regained.
Just the opposite, right?
Absolutely. So to me, I don't who else? What woman has written about gender relation in those terms, and not an imagination, a work of fiction? She's saying, we did it. And the book is offered to Alef Gay, Ebrahim Gulistan. And that's not the only one. There are several poems. I have had the great privilege to officiate at the wedding of several of my students. And it's interesting. I know part of it is because I love Farooq Farrokhzad, and you know, it's by osmosis there. But almost every single man and woman that I officiated at their wedding has asked me to read a poem by Farooq Farrokhzad. mean, it's true. I've heard now from people coming from Iran, I haven't been back for 14 years, that in fact now they read Furugh's poetry for funerals and for weddings, which doesn't quite surprise me, because you have both the highs and the lows. So Tavaludi Digar, no, that's different. So the relationship was tumultuous as expected, was scandalous. What I did, which has been very helpful to me, you know, Mr. Golestan did not agree to be interviewed and has never talked about Furugh Farrokhzad, his relationship to Furugh Farrokhzad. And forgive me for repeating, but there are some new faces here. The first time I approached him with a question about Furugh Farrokhzad, he looked at me and he told me, why don't you write a cookbook? So it took him a while to come around, but he, for the last 15 years, he has kindly and generously granted me week-long interviews. So I know the relationship from his perspective. I think I know a little bit from the letters and the poems. And it was a very intense, passionate relationship of two equals, that changed both of them. Now, when you read the interview in the book, I hope you will read the book, you will see that there are a few points that Mr. Golestan and I totally disagree. One of them is that. I say, tell me, please, how did Furugh impact you? And you know, he doesn't think that she had an impact on his work, emotionally, that feeling-wise changed my life and all that. But if you watch the film Khishto Ayine, and if you compare that film with Iman Biyavarin Ba Aghaz-e Fasle Sard, you will see the resemblances between the two. Or if you read some of the prose of Mr. Golestan, and some of them are absolutely exquisitely beautiful. And I hope you will consider reading some of these. There is one short story called Derakhta, and I talked a little bit about it last night. It is really one of the most touching stories written by a man about his relationship with the book. So to proceed, it's already, I should be close to my end of talk. This is actually a photograph taken by Mr. Golestan. Furugh started acting. I don't know if you have seen the film Khastegari. Furugh is in it and acting in it. Here, she was acting in a film by their mutual friend, Sadegh Hedayat, Chera Darya Tufani Shod. Sadegh Chubak, yes. After a few sequences, Mr. Golestan decided to stop. He says it's because one of the actors was a heroin addict, and other actors and actresses were getting involved, so I had to stop the film. Furugh also acted on stage. And then in 1962, the Society for Defense of Patients of Leprosy commissioned Mr. Golestan to make a film about leprosy. Furugh Farrokhzad went. We have two leprosarium in Iran. We have one in Mehrab Khan, which is in Mashhad, and we have one in Baba Baghi in Tabriz. So Farooq, they decided to go to Baba Baghi with Mr. Raji. They went the first time. And these are some of the pictures that you might, I have given it to a couple of people. They're given to me. Some of the pictures I have never been published. These are some of the scenes behind, pictures from behind the scene of the movie. I find them precious. And I have two interviews with two of the people who were at the leprosarium. One of them, a woman, who kept telling me, Khanum Milani, I'm an illiterate woman. Man ye zan amiyam. How can I help you? Why are you going through all the trouble to come and interview me? Please believe me, it was one of the best interviews. She taught me a lot about Farooq Farrokhzad. She captured the essence. You know, Picasso could do the portrait of any person he wanted with a few lines. I don't know if you're familiar with the painting of Picasso. For instance, he has a portrait of a painter, Apollinaire. Literally, I think there are 7 or 8 lines. And if you know Apollinaire, if you've seen pictures of him, you see it and you say, oh, this is Apollinaire with a few lines. So a good biography to me is like that kind of a good portrait. It captures in a few sentences, in a few lines, the essence of a person. And that Khanoum Zobeide Talebi was her name. That illiterate woman, as she called herself, captured the essence of Farooq Farrokhzad for me. Gave me, I've been fascinated by this film, The House is Black. Who has seen that film?
Has seen or hasn't?
Has. I really, my introduction to Farooq Farrokhzad was actually through that film. I will never forget, you know, it was one hot summer day, dust in the air, the smell of jasmine as in old Persian gardens everywhere. And suddenly, I was in the yard, looking in the television, I saw the images, the indelible images of these patients of leprosy with their noses gone, with crippled hands and feet. But she had not sugarcoated anything. And that film is a masterpiece because the person who produced it was Farooq Farrokhzad. And then when you talk to people who knew how she handled the whole thing, you understand. It's not how she shot the film. It is that, of course, it's important, but it is how she handled the patients. And it was really fascinating. You know, she spent 12 days in that leprosarium. She lived with the patients. She was given the choice to leave the leprosarium every night, you know, to just stay there, make the film, and go. She said, no, I'm going to live there. And what Farooq herself had said it in one of her interviews, but not as elaborately as Khanoum Zobeide Talebi told me. You know, she kept saying, Farooq Khanoum, I'm in love with her almost. And at some point, I asked her, and sections of that interview is also in the book. At some point, I asked her, why do you love her so much? What was about this woman that after 40 years, you still talk about her with such adulation? She said, you know, she treated us like human beings, not like lepers. She said, if I tell you, Farooq kissed us, touched our lesions, our wounds, ate with us at the same soufre. She said there was a wedding, and those of you who've seen the film will remember that wedding scene. She said she came here and, you know, people were sitting around and just having their tea and sugar, their cookies. I wish we had some right now, of Persian tea. And suddenly, she said, she got up, and there were some musicians there in the film. She said, play some happy music. And they started playing happy music. She went in the middle and started dancing for these patients. She said this was one of the happiest weddings. And then she said she had some jewelry on her. She took them and left, gave every single one of them to the bride. One other story about that, because some of these stories captures the essence of this woman. So she had some cash with her. They were on a long trip, and said on the way back, they took the train back. They did not have money left to eat. And this was told to me by her adoptive son. So I want to tell you just a little bit about the adoptive son, and I promise I will stop soon after that. So these are pictures from the film, and this is the adoptive son. This one is Hossein Mansouri. It's from the film, actually, a scene from the scene. This is later on. This is Mrs. Turan Farrokhzad, the mother. I love her. She was, in a way, she's Furugh Farrokhzad without being a poet. She tells you the truth as she sees it. And the very kind-hearted sweetheart. And I love this picture of Furugh. She has taken the broom and is playing guitar with it. This is the son. For the last 10 years, 8 years of Furugh's life, there is not a single picture of him, of her, with her biological son. And one of the saddest interviews I've done was with the biological son. Kamyare Shapur has suffered, and we can talk about him. But the last 10 years of the life, because Furugh was denied even sporadic rights for visitation with her biological son, and that pain is central to her poetry. These are pictures of the mother and the adoptive son. The son, as I said, was adopted in a leprosarium. You remember at the time, you might remember that leprosarium was considered a contagious disease. So not only she went and socialized and ate with these people, she adopted a child from two parents, both of them afflicted with leprosy. And now the biological son is in Iran. The adoptive son is the one who is translating his mother's poetry into Germany and absolutely adores his second mother. You know that in Persian, we don't even have a word for adoption. The words we use, it really makes me very uncomfortable. Bache sararahi, a child picked up by the side of the road. Ya farzand khande, a child only by name. You know, Islam does not allow adoption. Even that? Yes. So Bache sararahi, dar masjidi am has. I had not heard that, thank you. So quickly, a short reference to Furugh Farrokhzad's letters. We know there are a lot more letters. As I said, I know at least two people, and I've talked to both, who are sitting on some letters, who are not willing to share it at this point. But the letters that have been published, the most have been published by the son, the biological son, in a book. Soon after the death of the father, the death of Mr. Parviz Shapur. I think he was a gentle soul, a nice man. He suffered too for a variety of reasons. There are 55 letters in that book. Feridun Farrokhzad. All the letters that are here have been censored. We have portions of them, or if we have the whole letter, some words, some sentences, some paragraphs have been deleted. These are the books that will be published in the book. Not a single word will be deleted. As you see, the most are letters written to Mr. Golestan, and they are precious. And the other letters, I mean, some of the letters to the father will clarify a lot of things we don't know about Farrokh Farrokhzad's life, especially during her childhood and her youth. I was gonna acknowledge one of the letter, the sources of one of the letters, but maybe I'm not allowed to. But anyway, I'm very grateful to people who have given me letters. This letter to Mehriye Rakhshah, just one letter is 7 pages. And Farrokh says that I'm totally drunk, I've had a lot of vodka, and my head is falling on the table. It's one of the most uncensored letters about her feelings, about what's happening in the country, in her family. So what we will do in the letter, in the book, on the one side you will have the original letter, and right next to them are the transcribed letters, because sometimes it has taken us a long time to read some of these letters and figure them out. As I said last night, amazing thing is that there are only 2 letters that I have been able to find written to Farrokh, where Farrokh is the recipient. These are the 2 letters. You see the name and the address of the sender has been cut. This is the letter I told you about. You see, I see it as a sunflower, and all these, it just says Gurbanuto, Gurbanuto, Gurbanuto. It's someone who wrote it to Farrokh and sent it to Studio Golestan Film, where Farrokh was employed. Farrokh was at the height of her career when she died in a car accident. Like everything else about her life, there are different narratives, but we know this is the jeep that she was in. This is the minibus of students. She swerved to avoid the minibus, and I have interviewed a student in the minibus. So all these rumors about Savak killing her or is false. A student was in the car and saw the whole event. And this is a reproduction of the scene by this wonderful person who does these things. Farrokh was buried in a cemetery, Zahir-ud-Dowle. It's very difficult to get access to that place, but if it is open and you go there, and I've done it several times, it is really touching. There are always a bunch of young people. There is always fresh flowers on her grave. And because of that poem, اگر به دیدار من آمدی گل بیار و نمیدونم چراغ بیار, there are always candles on it. Farrokh, I think, has desegregated the pantheon of Persian literature. Finally, I think it's difficult to talk about major Iranian poets and not talk about Farrokh Farrokhzad. It was mainly all men, not mainly, it was all men, and it was older men. Now you have a woman, and you have a young woman. Unfortunately, she died young, but in a way, it's also the making of a legend. You know, many legends died young. I just want to take 2 minutes to tell you about what model helped me the most in the writing of this biography. You know, I've struggled with it. As you know, I was a student at UCLA, a student of most wonderful human being there could be, Professor Banani. I was in the French department. It was because of him that I changed major from French to comparative literature. I wrote my dissertation on Furu Farrokhzad. I wanted to write her biography from the beginning. I couldn't because I didn't find enough material. So only years ago, after gathering all this collection and having tried different means of relaying the facts I have collected, I had started writing an interview with Furu Farrokhzad. That was one of the forms it took. Then I started writing it in English, and finally I decided to write it in Persian. And my model, one thing, and I, you know, my field is literary criticism. For the last 30 years, I've written about life narratives. None of those theoretical books helped me as much as Furuk Farrokhzad's film. It showed me that you have to be honest to the subject, that you don't sugarcoat facts, but you don't judge, that you have to be multivocal. In the film, as you might remember, there is the voice of science, there is the voice of the patients, there is the voice of the poets, and of course there is the voice of silence, which allows us to think about the difficulty of watching this film. So I did not want a keyhole view of Farrokhzad's life. I have avoided as much as I could rumors. I have tried as much as I can her privacy. And many of these letters I've been in possession of for well over a decade. And I wasn't sure it's my right to publish them. But now, after 60 years, and after all the false information circling around about her various relationships, I thought she now belongs to Persian literature, and we can do that. Julian Barnes, one of my favorite writers, says that writing a biography is like having a net and trying to catch a fish in an ocean. I genuinely believe that, and a wonderful theoretician of women's biographies, Janet Beiser, has written in a book that yes, in fact, that's the kind of biography you want to write, because it leaves room for breathing, because a net has holes in it. My biography will have many silences and hollows, and it will be like a net. But I believe sometimes silences, sometimes ambiguities, sometimes multivocality can relay, in fact, more about the essence of a person, one specially named Furu Farrokhzad, who was, as her very close friend, wonderful poet Sohrab Sepehri captured in just one line, as Aholiye Emruz Budo. Exactly. So thank you very much for listening. I'm sorry I took a little longer of your time.